Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
And this is Update, where we bring you the news highlights of the past 24 hours or so. So coming up before 5.30, more reaction tonight to the news that a local veterinary practice is withdrawing its farm services. We're going to hear how the farming community in particular is responding. Also today, as World Diabetes Day is marked across the globe, we speak to a parent about what day-to-day life is really like when your child is living with the condition. We also find out how much it costs the Department of Infrastructure to produce car tax discs every month, and details of a very special concert taking place at the Villa Marina this evening to mark the end of the Second World War. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Chanel Fastamai.
Fastamai. The steam packet has cancelled this evening's 7:15pm departure to Heysham, as well as the return crossing at 1:45am tomorrow. It's due to forecast adverse weather. A yellow weather warning has just come into force until 3am tomorrow. A Manx farmer says the sector needs to come together and find a solution following the announcement that Milan Vets will no longer carry out farm veterinary services. The practice says it will no longer be able to treat livestock from the end of the month, citing a long-term decline in the number of farm clients. And a special concert commemorating the end of the Second World War is being held at the Villa Marina today. The National Festival of Remembrance concert will be in the Royal Hall starting from 7 o'clock. In international news, an ex-Conservative councillor has been found guilty of stalking former Tory leadership candidate Dame Penny Mordaunt. Edward Brandt sent her at least 17 emails while she called his behaviour creepy. A private investment firm has withdrawn its bid to buy The Telegraph. Redbird Capital has tabled a £500 million bid for the 170-year-old newspaper group. And a man's been charged after Ariana Grande was ambushed at the Wicked For Good film premiere in Singapore. Footage captured the moment the fan scaled a barricade, pushed past photographers and threw his arms around the actress and singer yesterday. The 26-year-old Australian is reportedly a notorious red carpet crasher. That's your headlines. News at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Chanel. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And as Chanel mentioned, there is that yellow weather warning for heavy rain. It's coming to force just around now and will be in place until 3am tomorrow. So that's another period of rain arriving from the south on Friday, turning heavy at times. Around 10 to 20 millimetres widely, perhaps it could be 25 to 30. So more surface water flooding in prone places due to quick runoff from already saturated ground. So the wind's going to be quite strong as well. The general forecast, it's going to be patchy rain at first. It will turn more persistent and heavier later this evening, and later in the night it will start to ease, though strong to gale force east or northeast winds. Temperatures tonight around 8, and then any patchy rain at first tomorrow will soon die out. The rest of the day will be dry actually, but it will be cloudy. The strong winds will gradually ease as well as the day goes on. Maximum temperatures 10 or 11 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to Update. It's coming up to 5 past 5. So this week we've been hearing growing concern from farmers after a local veterinary practice announced it would stop providing farm services. Now, Milan Vet says it will no longer treat livestock from the end of this month, citing a long-term decline in its number of farm clients. The practice is owned by Independent Vet Care Limited, a large off-island veterinary group, and it's been suggested suggested the decision to withdraw services was made elsewhere, so not here on the Isle of Man. Well, our Countryside presenter Kiri Kermode from Orrisdale Farm in Ballasalla says it's an unsettling moment for the sector.
The broader problem I feel that the farming industry may have is there's a shortage of vets generally on the Isle of Man, with a number of the books already closed at these clinics. So I don't really know where we can go. It's all sort of up in the air at the moment. The animals' welfare is obviously front and centre of all of this. It is critical that we do have that emergency cover one way or another. So it is very much we're in no man's land. The decision by IVC has come as a bit of a shock. I know that fellow farmers have said, you know, a lot of the prevention programs that have been rolled out by the Milan veterinary officers have been very good. So prevention is better than cure. So I can understand maybe a decline in some of the immediate treatments. But as far as the broader picture goes, you know, we've got a lot of schemes and programs that the vets undertake for us, routine work. So, we've got to keep up those accreditations. We need the vet to do it and also to cover the emergency care. It is really worrying time, Lewis.
What is the outlook like? What are you hoping will happen over the next few weeks? What do you need to happen?
Yeah, so in the next few weeks, we've really got to come together as an industry to put our case forward and get all of the relevant bodies and people on board to find a solution. We are going to have to come together to find a solution for this. I know that decisions from a bigger company that maybe don't understand the island's ways and methods over here may see things differently. And may realise actually this isn't the right thing to do and retract, we hope, possibly. But I know that DEFRA are working hard with the Manx National Farmers Union to pull the vets together to see what we can do in the short term anyway.
That's our Countryside presenter Kiri Kermode from Orrisdale Farm in Ballasalla talking to Lewis. We have contacted Independent Vet Care Limited for further comment. We haven't heard anything back yet, though. And DEFRA did say it's already become aware of the announcement on Monday this week and is now in talks with vets and industry reps to assess the situation further. Well, the Manx National Farmers Union has launched an anonymised survey on how farms rely on vet support after this news about Milan. The union says it's working with government to respond quickly, calling the service vital and highly valued. It hopes the results will strengthen its request for Milan to extend the notice period or reconsider altogether. Sarah Comish is the General Secretary and she's been talking to Christian.
I have never conducted a survey with a response like it. We've already had 165 responses within just 2 days, the majority of which were with Milan as a farm business and now have no alternative.
And this whole decision has caused some raised eyebrows because one farmer has suggested Milan services up to 90% of the island's livestock, yet Milan is saying there's a decline in demand.
So I think that might be a reflection of the decline in agriculture in general. So the stock numbers on the island, particularly in the last 10 to 15 years, have reduced significantly. However, it doesn't reflect the need for a service. And I think the primary issue here is the lack of notice period.
And what do you think the chances are that the decision will be reversed or even postponed? Because Milan is part of a much bigger organisation, 1,000 vet practices in the UK. Do you think they'll be receptive to what a small island has to say?
I absolutely hope so. So we are writing to them. I know our chief government vet is doing everything she possibly can to resolve the situation alongside other vets on the island. Not only is it a serious animal welfare issue, emergency care, everything, that's just not going to be possible for the remaining vets on the island to cover. Physically not possible. But also it's going to threaten everybody's farm assurance through Red Tractor.
And in Tynwald next week, there's going to be an urgent question being asked. What would you say is the biggest concern? Is it the animal welfare aspect, or does it also have implications on things like food supply even?
Yeah, well, the immediate concern is obviously animal welfare, but it's also farmer welfare as well. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of people that we've spoken to at the union who are seriously stressed right now, coming up to a time of year which is already very stressful. The veterinary services are absolutely integral to that. And so removal of those services is absolutely devastating.
That's the General Secretary of the Manx National Farmers Union, Sarah Comish, talking to Christian. It's coming up to 5:10. A man who stole almost £1 million from an elderly care home resident has been refused permission to appeal his prison sentence at the highest level. Gary Richard Vernon had applied to have his case heard by the Privy Council after a previous appeal against his nine-year custodial term failed. Sean Cowper reports.
In April 2023, a jury found Vernon guilty of stealing £997,000 from his wife's grandfather between 2010 and 2013, with the thefts only coming to light after the victim's death. He initially appealed against his nine-year prison sentence in November that year, arguing it was manifestly excessive, but the Deemsters who oversaw that hearing endorsed the use of a lengthy sentence to deter others. Vernon applied to have his case heard by the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council, the final court of appeal for the Crown dependencies. In hearing his application, the High Court of Justice of the Isle of Man reiterated that the sentence was entirely justified and that there is simply no chance of any appeal to the JCPC being successful at all. In the judgment, the Deemsters presiding over the hearing also found the application ignored the effect of the theft on the family of the victim. Refusing the application, the Deemsters ruled the application is out of time, made no arguable point of law of general public importance, and that it was clear there was no miscarriage of justice, let alone a serious one. They added the applicant's repeated submissions have ignored the aggravating factors and have sought to apply a mathematical formula to what was an extremely serious abuse of trust of a very elderly man.
Sean Cowper reporting.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
So, we've had the island's latest inflation figures for October, which show a slight fall in the overall rate. Christian, as ever, very keen on this and has been taking a look through the numbers. Fastamai, Christian, first of all, what is the headline here?
Yeah, absolutely. I live for the inflation figures. Well, the main point is that inflation has dipped very slightly to 2.8%, so it's down by 0.1% compared with September. It is a small movement, but it does continue the recent trend of some small declines.
And what is pushing prices up at the moment then?
Well, the biggest driver remains the restaurants and hotels category. That's up 7.8% on the year. Catering costs in particular, those have climbed 8.1%. Food and tobacco, those are also major contributors. Beef prices have jumped more than 13% though. Tobacco's up 7.5%.
So I guess the question now is though, are there any areas where prices are going the other way?
So energy costs are putting downward pressure on inflation. Gas prices have fallen 8% over the year. Oil and other fuels are down 13% too. And also some health items have also dipped, such as multivitamin tablets and sticking plasters.
Vitamin tablets, very good for this time of year. What about housing costs, Christian? How are they moving?
Yeah, so housing is measured slightly differently. That's through the Retail Prices Index rather than the CPI. It's risen 5.4% over the year, which naturally many will be feeling with ongoing pressures in rent and household-related costs.
Christian, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So as Chris mentioned a little bit earlier, there was that RTC on the main road in Foxdale. It doesn't say on the police pages that that has been cleared yet, but we understand it might be passable, but just take care if you are in that area. Nothing else to report though at the moment, so hopefully all okay on your way home. Down at the airport, a little bit of a delay on the Aer Lingus flight. Again, no information on that one, so just check if you're expecting anybody or expecting to go out on it. And down at the steam packet, the maximum was in at 4:45. This evening's cancellation though, because of the weather, that 7:15 will not be going to Heysham, and so that means obviously the overnight is not going either. So the first sailing out from Douglas will be 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's 14 minutes past five, and today marks World Diabetes Day, and a Manx charity is calling for clearer guidance in schools. Diabetes Isle of Man wants government to introduce a specific policy for how schools should support pupils living with the condition. And this issue came to light after changes to primary school menus earlier this term raised concerns about staff understanding of what diabetic children need. One mother, Amber Sewell, says she had to give up work to become a full-time carer for her son who has type 1 diabetes.
He was just drinking all the time. It didn't matter how much he was drinking. He was just constantly finishing one and asking for another, always using the toilet a lot more than normal, and his teachers were noticing this as well. After a week of this and his sleep being affected, I ended up phoning meds and just, I originally said to them, I'm so sorry if I'm wasting your time, because I just thought it might be an infection or something. And they said, you need to bring him down immediately. I never thought it was going to be something so great a deal, but quite glad that we caught it so early on. But if it hadn't have been caught when it had, it would have been a lot worse.
That's Amber Sewell talking about her son's diabetes. Well, currently guidance is given to schools on the administration of medication and medical care in a policy set out in 2010. Now, training is given initially by the paediatric diabetes nurse to the child's immediate teacher, but that isn't extended to other members of staff, including those working in the kitchens. Natasha Parry from the charity says treatment of diabetes has progressed a lot in the past 12 years, and that policy is now out of date.
We do not, as an island, have any policy around diabetes in primary school or secondary school settings. I know that individual schools may have their own policies, but again, it's not a blanket policy across the board, which it's a risk, really, then when you have a child arrive in a school that has a condition that needs to be managed every day. And I know that that will feel overwhelming for teachers, head teachers, anybody who comes into contact with that child. But as a charity, we want to prevent that feeling of overwhelm, because there's no need for it. It's all about education. It's all about support, be that through training, additional time spent with parents. And that's something as a charity that we want to work towards, is having the government create a policy, you know, as a safeguard really for children in school settings. You may find that some schools on the island have had diabetic children in them forever. So you'll have some schools that are well versed on having a child with diabetes in their school setting. Other schools may not have come in contact with a diabetic child at all. And so when that does happen, there needs to have been some basic level understanding about diabetes, I would say, through the whole school to understand what it means. And it's just to prevent any issues arising, I guess. You know, a severe hypo on school grounds would be really upsetting for everybody involved. So it's prevention of that sort of thing arising.
That's Natasha Parry from Diabetes Isle of Man. Well, in response to all of this, the Department of Education says schools support pupils with individual healthcare plans, which set out key details such as symptoms, triggers, medication and treatment, ensuring staff can provide appropriate care. 17 and a half minutes past five, and Manx Cares Advice and Liaison Service hosted a collaboration event this week to give people the chance to learn more about the at-home first approach. Members of the public were invited to the Roundhouse in Braddon to find out more about how local teams are working together to help people stay well and independent in their own homes for longer. Lewis went along and spoke with Michelle Breed, who's the head of Intermediate Care Service.
Intermediate care basically bridges the gap between hospital care and long-term provision, so in primary care. So what we do is we respond to crisis in the community where perhaps trying to stop somebody coming into hospital that doesn't require medical intervention but may require restorative care within their own home. We also then provide that service into the emergency department to try and help people out of the emergency department and also out of hospital, and also keeping people out of hospital by putting restorative care and rehabilitation into their own homes. Normally we do this after accident, injury, illness, or a sudden decline for some reason, especially in the elderly that can be really knocked off their feet by an infection. And so we put in our restorative care workers along with physiotherapy and occupational therapy to help them stay at home.
And how challenging can it be to ensure a person's safety, I suppose, and independence is guaranteed when they're returned back to their home out of hospital?
So it can be very challenging, and we do a lot of risk mitigation using strategies and equipment along with our support workers. And we also have advanced clinical practitioners at the beginning of our journey of intermediate care that will do a full comprehensive assessment and be able to assess the risk of that person staying at home. We have another option that if we don't think that the person is quite able to stay at home on their own, then we can use a bed-based rehabilitation service as well, which we currently use in the Martin Ward facility at Ramsey, which is currently relocated to Nobles whilst it's just having some work done on it. But then we can also tap into emergency respite in some of our residential homes as well. And so we then put in supportive care into that to then facilitate the person back home again.
That's head of an intermediate care service at Manx Care, Michelle Breed, there talking to Lewis. It's coming up to 20 past five. Now, it costs the Department of Infrastructure around £7,500 every month to produce car tax discs, and that is according to the Infrastructure Minister, who was quizzed by Arbury Castletown and Maloo member Jason Morehouse in the House of Keys this week. He wanted to know whether her department had plans to digitise the process after a Freedom of Information request revealed it's cost £650,000 to produce them for the past 5 years. And despite acknowledging the cost, Dr. Michelle Haywood said it was very unlikely any changes would be made during this administration.
As part of our ongoing drive to digitise services and create efficiencies, the department is reviewing the requirement for paper tax discs. However, at this time, there is no established timeframe for the development or introduction of the removal of paper tax discs.
The UK scrapped their tax discs in 2014, and in response to an FOI request, the department stated that in the last 5 years, £650,000 have been spent on paper tax discs. Can that continue? Have the costs of alternatives been considered?
It does cost us about £10,000 a month producing paper tax discs. It's around £7,500 every month. However, in order to step away from tax discs, there is a considerable background project that needs to be done in terms of how we handle the data and setting up the database and then working out amending the legislative provisions around tax discs. So it's not as simple as just the cost efficiency. We realise that there would be savings there, but we don't have the infrastructure in the background yet for that.
Could the Minister confirm what the impact assessment would be on the Isle of Man Post Office if tax discs were to stop being issued via the Isle of Man Post Office?
There are very few tax discs now that are issued via the post office, so I imagine that that change, which originated several years before I was minister, had an impact assessment there. I'm not aware of it, but I can go and see if I can find that document. But it is one of the things that post office cite in their changing their business model at their counters.
In terms of the tariff table, she's explained that it's going to be challenging to take this forward. Is there any possibility this will be done before the next election?
Very, very remote, so I'm going to go with a no on that one.
That's the Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Haywood, giving a very definite answer there at the end in the House of Keys this week. 22 minutes past five. Well, there's a special concert which marks the end of the Second World War taking place at the Villa Marina this evening. The National Festival of Remembrance concert begins at 7 o'clock and features a brass band, choice and soloists, and concludes with a traditional drumhead service. Organiser and Garth MHK, Andrew Smith, says they hope the event helps younger generations understand the importance of remembrance.
People are recognising, obviously, as time passes, memories become distant. And I think it's the case of what we're trying to do here is make an event for everyone, but more than anything, as I did in also in May, embrace younger people so that younger people are part of it, so that actually they're not just being taught about it, but they're actually taking part in something that may be relevant so they can actually get a better grasp of what we're trying to do by remembering. That the poppy has been a symbol of the remembrance for over 100 years. Since 1921, Royal British Legion voluntary collectors have been at the heart of the poppy appeal, which we know, don't we? Wearing a poppy is a show of support for the service and sacrifice of our armed forces, veterans and their families, and shows the armed forces community that their service and sacrifice will never be forgotten. It represents all those who lost their lives on active service from the beginning of the First World War right up to present day actions. It also honours the contribution of civilian services and the uniformed services, which contribute to national peace and security, and acknowledges innocent civilians who have lost their lives in conflicts and acts of terrorism. So it is quite encompassing, recognising what we have witnessed in recent years on other things when we have not been privy to world wars, as it were. But during the First World War, previously beautiful countryside as we know was blasted, bombed and fought over again and again, yet the landscape swiftly returned to fields of mud where little or nothing could grow. But out of this devastation, the delicate but resilient bright red Flanders poppies grew and flourished in their thousands. So I think that tells you something about the resilience of the poppy and why we wear it, to show our resilience in supporting those that fought for our freedom.
That is Andrew Smith. He's the organiser of this special remembrance concert taking place at the Villa Marina tonight. He's also the Garth MHK. Tickets tonight, £5, under 16s, free of charge, and all the proceeds are going to the Poppy Appeal. It's always a fantastic event. Well, let's join Rob Pritchard now for this evening's sports news. Good evening, Rob.
Fast am I. Starting off with the current Canada Life men's Premier League leaders not in action this weekend. The teams beneath them will be out to seize the chance to close the gap at the top during the latest Isle of Man football fixtures tomorrow. Unbeaten Corinthians have a 6-point advantage at the summit of the top flight, but are on a rest week this time out, meaning multiple challengers will get the opportunity to eat into that deficit. Among Saturday's encounters, Onken, 1 point off Corinthians in second, face a potentially tough trip to Laxey in fourth, who are just 1 point further back and have 2 games in hand on their visitors. Elsewhere, the top two in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2, Castletown and Colby in first and second respectively, are separated by just 1 point ahead of the weekend. You can view a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. Elsewhere in football, looking to bounce back from a first defeat in six, FC Isle of Man face one of the NWCFL Premier Division's current title contenders this weekend. Aiming to climb further clear of the relegation zone, the Ravens will host West Didsbury and Chorlton tomorrow night, with the visitors heading into Saturday just 2 points off the top of the table. Both sides are no strangers to each other, having faced off in every campaign since the Manx side's inaugural season in 2021-22, when both went on to get promoted from NWCFL Division 1 South. Well, depending on results elsewhere, a win for the Island hosts could send them 8 points clear of the drop zone, whilst West Didsbury and Chorlton could realistically end Saturday night at the summit of the standings. Elsewhere in rugby, just the one game takes place on Ireland this weekend, with most teams taking a break during the autumn international series. Vagabonds host Duckenfield in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire in a rearranged tie at Ballafletcher at 1:30pm tomorrow. The Ireland side are still searching for their first win of the season. And finally in hockey, league action takes a backseat this weekend as the semi-finals of the three mixed cup competitions take place. 12 teams are just one step away from a place in the final of either the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate or Mixed Bowl. Cup fixtures get underway from 12:30pm on Saturday and full details are on our website.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. And do stay tuned to Manx Radio because Rob will be here with the Friday Sport Preview in just a couple of minutes. So more details about exactly what is and isn't happening this weekend. After that, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinney from 6:30 tonight. Then Howard will be here with Sweet and Swing. And tonight, H has some Al Bowley, Mead, Lux Lewis, Woody Herman and a request for some Ella, apparently. So you can join him at 9 for all the best music when wireless was king, and it will be available as a podcast straight after broadcast in all the usual places. And then after that, Rhiann will be here to round off your Friday with After Hours tonight from 10pm. As ever, do stay tuned to Manx Radio, and also you can look on our website and Facebook pages over the weekend, just keeping you up to date with any sort of weather issues. As we say, we know the steam packet sailing's cancelled this evening, so anything to report, we will post it on there. Have a lovely weekend, and update. We'll be back with you at 5 on Monday.